Peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about, I guess, talking to yourself too. And really, sometimes you wonder if, or I wonder, if I'm talking to myself or am I talking to God? Well, let's explore that. Did you ever notice the difference between talking to somebody face-to-face and talking to them over the phone? I guess FaceTime is kind of in between. Huh? Or how about writing a letter? People still do that, you know. Or sending an email. Sending an email or a text. It's just the words that go out there over the internet and to the person on the other side. It's a little bit less personal, isn't it? Than speaking to someone face to face. How about this one? How about posting on a blog? Or writing your comments on a blog post? The progression is less and less personal. Farther and farther from that face to face conversation. And I don't know about you, but the blogs that I read, like I'll tell you what blog I read the most. I read MGo Blog. It's about University of Michigan football. Okay. University of Michigan football. But I'll tell you that on that blog there are people who say nasty things to each other. This is a football blog. You know, what does it matter? Somebody criticizes the offense or the coaching. Oh, they criticize the coaching. You know, by the way, Michigan's number 2 in the country. And there's still criticism, you know, nitpicking. Okay? And then they nitpick against each other. I don't write it on that blog, but I see that. Lord, have mercy. People say such thoughtless things in writing, heartless things, cruel things to each other. I just think these people would not have the guts to say these things face to face to each other. I think some people hide behind the refuge of anonymity that is out there in the internet. And it coarsens us. It coarsens the person who speaks that or writes that. It certainly coarsens the person to whom it's directed, if they hear it. And it coarsens little old me who reads it for all the world to see. I think there are some things you need to do face to face. You know, one of those things as a teenager, if you break up with somebody, you do it face to face, okay? You don't break up with somebody by text. You just don't do that. Or confessing your sins. If you sin against someone, you confess it face to face. And when you forgive, brothers and sisters in Christ, do that face to face as well. You need to be honest. You need to be real. And when you're sitting or standing face to face with someone, you know if they're being honest with you. You know if they're being real with you. Well, what about talking with God? That too needs to be real. It needs to be honest. You have to be honest because you need to be honest with both God and yourself in prayer. You need to be honest with God for your own sake because He already knows the truth about you. He already sees your heart. He saw it with Cain and Abel. And He certainly sees it with the Pharisee and the tax collector in our gospel lesson today. In our gospel reading, it says, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Do you see the connection with last week's parable of the unrighteous judge? The unrighteous judge we talked about last week. Remember, with the persistent widow? Well, what about the unrighteous judge? He respected neither God nor other people. Well, whenever we trust in ourselves that we're righteous, we're being the unrighteous judge. And whenever we treat others with contempt, we're the unrighteous judge too. So if you didn't get it last time, Jesus says, here's another parable for you. Another parable about prayer. Another parable about those conversations with our Heavenly Father. Jesus tells us this parable, and he says, there's these two guys who go up to the temple. You always go up to the temple in Jerusalem because it's at the highest point. Go up to the temple. And why does he say the temple? You can pray anywhere. Why does Jesus say you go to the temple? Or these two guys were in the temple. It's where you meet God face to face. At least in those days, that's where you'd expect to meet God face to face. I guess today you'd say, well, I meet Jesus face to face because he's an incarnate man. And you can meet him face to face here if you are missing that. I guess some people say they come to church to meet God face to face. Well, okay, let's listen to him today. What does he have to say to us? What do you say in prayer when you stand before God? Because that's what you're doing in prayer. You're standing before God. What do you say to God when you stand before him? Well, one thing you don't do is you tell God what he owes you for what you've done. That doesn't work very well. And as far as what you've done, well, don't expect a reward from God for doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway. He says the servant does not expect thanks for doing what he's expected to do in the first place. That's kind of what's happening with this Pharisee here. Now, in Jesus' day, this parable would have come across as something of a surprise. You guys have heard about Pharisees in a different way than they did. The Pharisee, everybody who heard this story, the Pharisee would have been, they would have expected him to be the guy in the white hat in the Western, okay? Here's the guy who always went to the temple, who always did the right thing. Here's the guy who is always in church. He's supposed to be the guy in the white hat, you'd think. And the tax collector, well, the tax collector, he's the guy in the black hat. Dirty, rotten scoundrel. Sinner, sinner, sinner. But both these guys come to the temple, and both are standing before God in prayer. And what does God see? What does God see? He doesn't see one guy in a white hat and one guy in a black hat. He sees two guys in two black hats. Both are sinners without Christ. Only one of them knows it. Only one of them recognizes that he's wearing a black hat. Only one of them recognizes that he's a sinner. So he repents. He repents. Do we know what it is that he repents of? He just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The same words, by the way, that you and I said at the beginning of the service. That's where this comes from. Luke chapter 18. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner. I'm the sinner. Tax collector, I guess, could say, God, be merciful to me for cheating people out of money that they didn't owe. Who knows what sins he's repenting of? I don't know what sins you're all repenting of. I know what sins I'm repenting of. He repents of whatever he's done. And he knows that he's wearing that black hat. In fact, he's wearing all black. Pastor comes up here and wears white. You think I should come up here and wear black because I'm just as much a sinner too. Maybe that's why they give us the black shirt. Help us remember that. And this sinner knows that he has no standing before God. Yes, he's standing there, but he has no standing before the righteous judge, the only one who is righteous. And he knows it. God owes him nothing. And he knows that too. So he just begs for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Same thing we say in the Kyrie every Sunday. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. If you don't know what to pray, if you ever know not what to pray, pray that. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, and Lord, have mercy on those around me. Lord, have mercy on those to whom you placed my life. You put my life here. Lord, have mercy on all of my friends and my wife and my daughters and my mom. Lord, have mercy. Jesus says, this man, this tax collector, this dirty, rotten scoundrel wearing the black hat, who everybody knows is wearing the black hat. You hear it in the Pharisee's words. Remember, like that tax collector, that dirty, rotten sinner. Not him. I'm glad I'm not him. The tax collector knows that. And he repents. He says, God be merciful. And this man goes home justified. Just what Jesus preached. His first words out of his mouth in Luke. Repent and believe. Believe in what? Believe that your Savior has come. The kingdom of God has come to you. That's how God comes to you in His mercy. To forgive you and redeem you and give you life. To get you out of this mess of sin and which leads to death. This mess of sin which is surrounds us with temptation. Believe in Christ, who is here face to face to see you, to meet you this morning with His words of mercy and grace. Well, let's talk a little more about this Pharisee, because I'm not done with him yet. He's praying to God. Now, what is he praying for? Is he thanking God for what he's done, for what God has done? No. His prayer trusts in himself. He praises himself for what he has done for God. He thanks God for himself. In fact, he praises God for himself. He's really praising himself. This is self-idolatry. He's breaking God's first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that includes us. We can't place ourselves before God. And this Pharisee holds others in contempt. He says, he's not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this tax collector in the pew next to me. I'm sorry, standing in the temple next to me. Well, at least this Pharisee is listing real sins, real things to avoid. Adultery, extortion, cheating. He's acting as a judge of others when the final judge, the only judge, the righteous judge, is God alone who judges hearts. Now, do we judge others? Do we want other people to act the way we want them to act? Do we want them to dress the way we want them to dress? Or to cut their hair the way we would have them cut their hair? Do we look down on those who wear different clothes, who eat different food, who listen to different music or watch different TV shows? Even Ohio State fans. You ever look down on somebody who drives poorly? I just drove back from Michigan. Believe me, I was sending that one all the way. You ever look down on somebody who doesn't keep... Do you ever look down on someone who doesn't keep their lawn the way that you think it should be kept? Your neighbor, maybe? I don't know. At least this Pharisee guy was listing real sins. We look down on people for piddly things. What does it matter what music somebody listens to or what how they dress? But either way, looking down on somebody is contempt. Part one of God's law here is, don't look down on others, but love them. Love them. Part two of God's law here is simple too. Don't be prideful. Don't be self-righteous about yourself. This Pharisee lists his good works. He fasts twice a week. He tithes. He tithes, giving a tenth of all of his income back to the Lord. Are these good things? Sure. Yes. Do they earn his salvation? No. It's good that he does these things. But here he is, standing before the temple of God, standing in the temple of God before God. And he's thinking about what he's done, not about what God has done for him. And God sees. God sees his pride. God sees his contempt for others. God sees that his pride and his contempt block him from seeing his black hat. Now take the tax collector. He knows he's wearing a black hat. He stands far back. He did not even wish to lift his eyes to heaven. And his prayer is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This guy is not mindful of all the others who are there. He sees his own sin. And God forgives this one. He was and he remains justified. That means put in a right relationship with God. That face-to-face communication, that being real and being honest, he's being real and honest with himself and God. And God is being real and honest with him. And he says to him, and he says to you, I know. I know you've hurt me when you sinned against me. I know that you hurt her when you talk about her or hold her in contempt. I know that. And you know that. And I forgive that. I sent my son to die for you for that. And all the other sins. But while we're being real, that one is forgiven. That sin that bothers your conscience, when you bring it here to the Lord and confess that sin, it's gone. Christ took that to the cross. It's gone. It's paid for. He removes it from you. And he gives you a white hat and the power of your baptism. The white hat won by the blood of Jesus. It says, this person goes home from here justified, forgiven, redeemed, and loved by God. So don't trust in your own works. Don't trust in your own humility, because that's false humility. Instead, trust in God's promises. Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." Trust in God's promises. He promises mercy. He promises forgiveness to all who repent and receive that forgiveness he so freely offers. If you want the prayer of a sinner, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." That's the prayer of the penitent. It's the prayer of the humble. Trust in God's promises. With the faith that he says, like an infant, an infant who is helpless, who can bring nothing to God, nothing. An infant who is totally dependent. That's who he welcomes. Be that humble. Be that dependent upon God. Recognize your own helplessness. Trust in his mercy. See, we enter this life as an infant, a nobody, even without a name, completely helpless. And when we have fought the good fight, when we go home from this life, we go home by the grace and mercy of God, justified, redeemed, and forgiven. Made new, wearing a white hat of righteousness, not by our own merit, but by that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.